On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked, where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Good morning. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. This is a greeting that Jesus gives to his disciples when they were behind locked doors in fear of the Jews, in fear of what the world was willing and desiring to do to them. They were in fear of what they had come to know and believe. But yet Jesus, when he appears to them in the resurrection, he appears to them showing his victory, still scarred as signs of what he offered, but the glorified Christ speaks those beautiful words, "Peace be with you." You and I over the years have come to recognize what that definition means to us. It's the fullness of our lives in union with God. And that in union with God comes to us through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The union with God is what we call the church. In union with God, our lives in its fullest experience is what Paul calls the body of Christ. And its works and its purpose is not to hide behind closed doors, but to go out and recreate the face of the earth. When we think of our lives separate from union with God, the fullness of our lives is about the world that we live in. It is about who we are and where we are and what we are. And our lives are made up of these little journeys from point A to point B. Whether it be in time or space, in time, point A to point B, day to day, living with family, with work, and with friends. In space, these are the little space destinations we have from point A to B, and we can go almost anywhere in this global world that we want to. It's amazing that Father Ronyao went home, which took nearly 30 hours for him to get from here to the Philippines. I went away last week. It took 2.5 hours. Just far enough. But you know what? When we are so concerned about the world, we allow ourselves to gain that confidence in our travels. Especially now when we have GPS. No matter where we're going from point A to point B, we just ask Siri, and with great confidence, in total submission, we follow her. When I was on vacation up in Clymer, New York, we decided that we wanted to go out and get some fireworks. We on this big farm, a beautiful place. And so we thought we'd go out and get some fireworks. So we went about a half hour, 40 minutes away from camp, back out of the farmland, down to civilization. And on our way there, we came across this one road. And I thought I was having deja vu all over again. I thought I was back in North Huntington because they were paving the road and you were stopped. I said, even on my vacation, I can't get away from the part that I dislike the most. So in my mind, as soon as we got to the place of fireworks, I said to my friend, let's take a different route back. We are only maybe 10 miles from camp. So we said, "Hey, Siri, take us to Town Line Road." And she says, "Sure, ready to go. Let's go." And she tells me to turn right, and I turn right, and there's a nice road, a left, another good road. And then finally she said, "Turn right onto Harvest Drive." And when I went to turn onto Harvest Drive, it was a dirt road through this farm that seemed to go forever. And immediately when I turned on that road, I knew we were lost. And being a man, I did what men do best when we're lost. We drive as fast as we can. Because if we're lost, we want to get there really quick to save time to make up for trying to get back to where we're supposed to be. Drive 6 miles and your destination will be on your left. And I'm thinking, I don't believe this. So I drove as fast as I can up and down through these farms on Harvest Drive. And when he got to the end of the road, Siri so pleasantly said, "You are at your destination." When I looked up, we were in this small town square with this big, beautiful sign that said, "Welcome to the village of Little Hope." Little Hope. This is not where I want to be. So I said to my friend, "We obviously went the wrong way on Harvest Drive because now we're in the village of Little Hope." So I did what we used to do. I put the truck in park and got out and wanted to find someone to ask directions for. When I got out, there was this airy feeling about me that I thought that any minute now, I'm going to hear dueling banjos playing. I went over to the general store and was going to go in and ask for directions, and there was a sign on the door. It said, "Closed for the season." What season? I found a guy on the back porch, so I went around the corner and I said, "Excuse me, can you tell me how to get to Clymer, New York?" And as serious as I'm standing here, he said to me, "You can't get there from here." Now I'm in the movie of Deliverance in the Twilight Zone. But he said, "If you drive a piece down the road to New Haven, you can get there from there." And I said to him, "Thank you." And he said, "By the way, how did you find the village of Little Hope?" I said, "Well, Siri helped me get here." And he said, "Well, then you should ask someone else." I share that story because in our earthly lives, we do traverse over the globe. Whether it's through time or space, we're all about the fullness of our lives. But when we hear in the responsorial psalm that the Spirit comes to renew the face of the earth, what it does is it renews it not to be places of destination or right turns or wrong turns. It becomes the place that God's glory, that His joy of citizens who are passing through gather others to follow. And we take that journey not on right and left-hand turns, but on every choice that we make. See, God has a GPS system. It's not a global positioning because He could care less where we stand on the face of the earth. He only cares about the shadow that falls in front of us, that we're called to evangelize, or called to speak the good news. His is His GPS, is God's powerful Spirit. And it doesn't lead our earthly lives, but it leads our interior life, our souls. It leads us not from point A to point B, but to person, to choose to follow Christ. Those gifts of the Holy Spirit are so beautiful and wonderful, as Paul says. There's one Spirit, but many gifts. The gift of courage and wisdom, the gift of knowledge and understanding that helps with right judgment. But all those gifts are caught up in our awe and wonder of God, and how we revere Him in our devotion, in our lives. These are the gifts that help us to find our way, not on earth, but as the church, as we move forward to share in that final destination of Christ's victory, His kingdom, which the Spirit renews in our presence. So what should be our mission on this Feast of Pentecost? John DePaul reminded me the first part of mission should be, remember, it's the birthday of the church, so make sure you have ice cream and cake when you leave here today. But more importantly, I think that our mission should be to realize that our lives are only full when they're in union with God. It's not about day-to-day living. It's not about this trip to here or there. It's about where our shadow falls. And when we allow GPS, God's powerful spirit, to lead us, then we choose things based upon wisdom and knowledge and understanding. We choose things with great courage that allows us to make right judgment and good counsel. But those things only come when we use the spirits to know of God's overwhelming power and love and to revere it with our lives. So when you come forward, when you make that little trip without Siri's help, from your pew to the front of the church, to receive Jesus in the Holy Eucharist, remember the awe and wonder of that gift, that you see bread and you taste wine, but you know that it's truly his divine body and blood. Bow with great reverence. Speak with confidence your amen. And when you receive him, return to your place and ask him to help you to guide that interior life, that as you live the fullness of your human life in union with him, you may have the courage, the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding to always make the right judgments that allow God's awe and wonder to be revered as we change the face of the earth, as we recreate it into the body of Christ Jesus, whose destiny is to share in eternal life. And I promise I will do the same. As I